Boker Tov world. Today's daf in the Sechet Benachot brought to you from Yerushalayim Yerakadesh is daf Lamed Gimel, and we are holding right in the second line. So we've been talking about the skins upon which we write the mezuzah. We've been talking about psuches v'stumais. We've been talking about whether there's Isurim of converting one type of Kedusha to another type of Kedusha, where you have one of these Rova Yehudi long entrances, where exactly do you put the mezuzah? And that actually led us to discuss what the din is of the mezuzah on the outside part of the mezuzah, meaning the chelik of the mezuzah that was facing the Rishus HaRabim. And it turns out that according to this, if it's actually on the identifiable mezuzah, that then it would be kosher, but that's not preferred. Masha Inkin, if it would be on the wall, that may be different. We're going to have to see more of these. These are tremendous machlokes in among the Peskim, Lamaisa, and we'll talk about it at the end of Bezrat Hashem. Today we have another mimer, V'yomer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Let's say you wrote the mezuzah on two separate pages. Now, that's the way the Tosfos understands it. Literally two separate pages, two separate pieces of parchment. But the way Rashi understands it, it's talking about two dapim on the same piece of parchment. So it would be dapim, it would be columns, instead of actual different pieces of cloth. So it would be possible. Meisve, kitaval shnei dapim, v'hinicha b'shnei sipim. Then it's possible. So here it says, if you wrote the mezuzah on two separate pages, again, this is why it's easier to understand it the way that Tosfos learns it. You put it on two separate pages, and then you put each one of them on a separate piece of wood that was running down the mezuzah. It would be possible, but that's mashma, that it's only because it's also separated in terms of where you put it. But if it would be one mezuzah that was written on two separate tapim, it would be kosher. So the way Rashi has to learn this is that it doesn't literally mean that it was on two separate pieces, but it means that he has enough room in between the two tapim that he can actually cut it into two. Then that's how, doesn't mean that it's literally torn apart, which is where Tosfos understands it. But anyway, so the Gemara explains that what we're talking about over here is Re'uya L'Shnei Sipim. It doesn't mean that it's literally going to be possible only if it's separated by two different places. It means that it could be separated, as I explained. And that means that, again, there was enough space in between the two dapim to be able to separate them into two, according to Rashi. Obviously, according to Tosfos, it means that it was simply written on two pages, which is the way Tosfos understood the whole sugya. Another maimer of Rabbi Yonam Shmuel is that b'mezuzah halech achar heker tzir. Now, this is one of the most confusing dinim in the mezuzah, a lot of machlokas and much confusion among the users. So the Heker Tzir issue, Chabad has got its own world of halacha in this. So make sure you don't look up any of the halachas about the mezuzah on the Chabad sites who have made mezuzah and tefillin one of their main foci. So very dangerous there. But Heker Tzir, according to the Peskim, the simple meaning of it is, if you have a door that's in the location, and this is what Ravada is about to explain, when do we talk about this Heker Tzir? Omer Ravada, it means the Avketa. Now, the Avketa in those days was the little hole that was in the ground, which served as a socket for the pivoting Tzirim. It was and they didn't use what we have today, which is much more, the hinges that we have, much more complex. They used a pivot, so there was a pin that would stick out from the bottom of the door and the top of the door, and actually not literally from the top of the bottom most often, but from a piece that was a hinge that stuck out on the door on top and bottom and had the pin coming out, as we'll see in a moment. So wherever this socket was is the room into which the door will open, obviously, because that socket was what allowed the door to swing inside. So when do we say this, says Ravada, that the Avkata is definitive, Hechidami, Kegon Pitcha de Bein Tre Bati, let's say, Bein Begavre Levei Nashe. So in the old days, where it was not taken for granted that men and women are going to inhabit the same space, which was a bit healthier than it is today, so if you have a house, so the house is divided into the area where the woman works, talks on the telephone at the top of her voice, has all of her friends over. Meanwhile, where are the men going to hide? So the men are on the other side of the wall. So basically, our concept of a home which has different rooms was expressed in those days in the men's side and the women's side. Okay, so each one of these sides has its own entry into the Rishus HaRabim. And now the question is, which way do you put the mezuzah onto the door that's between the two sides of the house? And of course, this is the way that any room would be defined in our terms. Any bedroom, if it has its own entryway to the outside or porch or so on, then we'd have to determine which way is in. Is the way into the bedroom in, or is the way out of the bedroom in? In this case, is the way in the men, into the men's section, is that in or into the women's section? So this will not end up being a sexist argument at all, even though the simon is obviously a bit sexist, but we go according to the socket. We don't go according to the pin. And that means that we can't really go according to the pin, can we? So that means in our terms, if the hinge is on the door in such a way that it's attached to the inside of the bedroom so that the door will now open to the inside, then that means that the entryway is into the bedroom. If the hinge is on the outside, then it means it's from that room into the outside. Now, again, this is only where there's not an entrance to the house that will define it. If there's an entranceway, let's say only on one side, in the men's section, for instance, and the only way to get into the other room is through that door, then obviously it doesn't matter where you put the hinge because the way into the house continues into the room. So this din of Heker Tzir has very limited applicability in terms of there not being any other clear-cut simon as to what is the entrance. Now, there was a maisa with a Resh Galuta. He built himself a new house, and he said to Reb Nachman, who used to be the one who was paskening and made sure that everything was good in the bais of the Resh Galuta, to put up the mezuzot for me. And Reb Nachman said, well, I'm not going to put up the mezuzot until you first put up the doors. So now, but Pashtas, this is a continuation of the previous sugya, and it means I cannot determine what direction to put your mezuzahs into many of your rooms unless there's a door that will have a Heker Tzir, and that way I'll know which direction to go. Now, the Rambam has an absolutely unique way of learning this. According to the Rambam, it means put up the doors because if there's no door, then it's not chayiv in a mezuzah, which of course is not the standard halacha, but it is nogea halacha lamaisa, as I'll show you in a moment. So what the Resh Galuta was told is put up, according to the other pshatim, it means put up the doors so that the mezuzah will be up, not put up the literal doors. So tolidashi means put up the mezuzahs first. According to that, what was it that the Resh Galuta wanted him to do? He wanted to have the mezuzahs beautifully done, by actually inserting the mezuzahs into the mezuzot ha-petach while they were still being worked on by the workmen, and that way it could be polished and taken, and then you'll put it up together with the mezuzah that was embedded inside of the mezuzot ha-petach. Now, the reason that Rav Nachman said you can't do that is because of the concept of ta'aseh, which we learn out in the really from the sugya in sukkah. So if you're going to make a sukkah, anything which is ta'aseh has to be made as it is meant to be used. If it was put up first in a way that wasn't kosher, and then it was turned into something that's kosher, that would not be ta'aseh. And the klal is, and this is a wonderful Gavi klal, who though Ori has a lot to catch up on over here, still has his magic pen, and that is the klal of ta'aseh velo min ha'asui. Make it, and don't make it out of something that was already preformed. Boy, oh boy, this is a direct attack on our society, let me tell you. Everything is supposed to be preformed, right? You just open it up, and it gets itself right into position. So, how would satellites spread their antenna, for heaven's sakes, according to this Gemara? It would be literally tasa voluminosity, right? Okay, so the truth is you can't do that with a sukkah. You can't have your sukkah and dig your sukkah out. Let's say you have a beautiful haystack. So now you dig out the haystack, and now you've got a sukkah, because the top of the haystack is your schach, right? No good. The same thing is true over here. You can't have the mezuzah inside of the wood that builds the actual entrance, because that would be putting in the mezuzah and then having it preformed in your house. So I can't do that. So this is a big machlokas. Again, I said, how does the Rambam's approach, which is not brought as the halacha psuka, how would it be nogea? It would be nogea if you took down the door and now you want to put up a door. So according to the Rambam, you'd have to take off your mezuzah, put up the door, and then put on your mezuzah. Because otherwise it would be ta'aseh v'lo minhasui, because it was a preformed doorway for a door which is not yet hung. So eino chinami, there are many people that are makpid in such a case. If they're hanging new doors, so then they will put up new mezuzahs. Amar of Yud Amar Rav. Okay. Another, now this time it's Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, not Amar Shmuel, and that is asa'ah k'min neger, it's psula. If you make the mezuzah like a bolt that's going into the wall, then it's possible. The mezuzah has to be on the outside of the wall, and according to Rashi, it has to be upright. Remember, we'll get to the Tzmach Locus later, where we do sort of a compromise and put it on an angle. So the pashtus here is the differences between the neger, which is inserted like a bolt into the wall, or whether it's on the outside of the wall and it's going up and down. That's how Rashi learns the sugya. Question is that true? V'akiyata Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, he said that all of the mezuzahs in Rebbe's house, I saw myself, were made like a neger. Wow. And I further saw that there was an entryway that Rebbe used to use to get into the Beis HaMedrash. And the reason he went in that side door, it was like this little door on the side, was because he didn't want people standing up for him and bothering everyone when he went into the Beis HaMedrash. So he would come out right by his seat. He would go from his house directly into the Beis HaMedrash through this door. And that door did not have a mezuzah on it. So let's handle the first part first. How could he have made all of his mezuzot like a neger if you're claiming that a neger is pasul? Well, lo kasha. There's two ways of understanding a neger. A neger could mean that it's like literally a sichta. A sichta is like a peg that's inserted actually into the wall while it is horizontal. So that is not kosher. But Rebbe's mezuzahs were avida kistavira. But basically, the bottom, an istavira is an ankle. So it means it's like an L, like your foot comes off of the ankle. And so the bottom part of the mezuzah was inserted, but the rest of it, again, according to Rashi, the rest of it went up and down. And what about the fact that he said that the door didn't have a mezuzah? Why would that be? Any? I know that in Rav Huna's Beis HaMedrash, he also had a little door like that. And Ahu Pitcha, the Avi Ayobe Rav Huna Levei Midrasha, when Rav Huna made himself a little door, Havile Mezuzah. So how do you explain that? Well, there were two different usages. Ahu Rogil Havi. The door of Rav Huna was the regular door. It was not only a private door for Rav Huna. It was the main door that people used to go through. It happened to be that it was right next to the door of Rav Huna's house. So he could go in there very conveniently. But it was a main door. Basha'in came, in the case of Rebbe, it was a private door. Nobody else used it. Everybody else went through the main entranceway into the Beis HaMedrash. And therefore, since Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, b'mezuzah halech achar haragil, now this again is a halacha that we don't paskin like, and we're going to see later on in the Gemara that it says beferish, apparently, that this is not true. And that if you have more than one delet to a room, then you put the mezuzah on all of the delatot. But let's meanwhile take it bepashtus, and then when we get to the sugya, we'll discuss why it is that the Gemara seems to contradict itself. So your Rav Yehuda says, if you've got multiple entrances, use the door for the mezuzah should be the one that most of the people come in and out of. Okay. Wow. We're going to see later on, as I say, on tomorrow's daf, that actually you're supposed to put it on both, and we'll talk about it then. So in this case, it was not a standard door, and because of that, Rebbe did not use the mezuzah, whereas Rav Huna did. Now the question over here is another question. Is the Beis HaMedrash chayav in a mezuzah at all? Because Lamaisa, we paskin, as the Rambam brings, the Beit HaKnesset, the Beit HaMidrash, if it doesn't have a place where people actually sleep over, it's not chayav in a mezuzah. So the issue is, of course, why is the Gemara taking for granted that it would have to have a mezuzah if it were the petach? Why would that be true? Bichlal. So almost all the Rishonim understand that the sugya is talking about the mezuzah to Rebbe's home, or to Rav Huna's home, through which he came to that Beis HaMedrash. And the question is, that mezuzah, is that considered to be a entry into his home, and therefore would be chayev in this case? Or are we talking about even in a house that if a mezuzah is not on a door that is generally used, so then you wouldn't need a mezuzah since this door was used only to go to the Beis HaMedrash. Now, others make it more nogea the previous sugya. And the question is whether the idea of Heker Tzir would define whether the door was the door to the Beis HaMedrash, in which case it was Potter, or whether it was the door to Rebbe's house because it opened into Rebbe's house. And that gufa was the question. Anyway, halacha lamaisa, we paskin, we don't need a mezuzah in a Beis HaMedrash. The minig is definitely to put up mezuzahs, but without a bracha, unless people actually are living there, they stay over there, they sleep there, guests are there, whatever. And there's also a very sweet story that all of this was based on a maisa that the Marami Rotenberg said that the Ruches Royim, that would mean the Vayid Po, whenever he stayed in his Beis HaMidrash without a mezuzah. So because of that, we don't want any evil spirits wandering around, and therefore the mezuzah serves to protect the people of the Beis HaMidrash anyway. Amar Rabbi Zeir, Amar Rav Masa, Amar Shmuel, mitzvah lahanicha b'tchilat shlish ha'elyon. So here comes another one of the highly abused and misunderstood halachas about the mezuzah. All right, so you're supposed to put the mezuzah on the part of the entryway. You measure it, and you get to one-third from the roof, two-thirds of the distance from the floor, and that is where you put your mezuzah. Whereas Rav Huna says, actually, you're just magbia min hakarka tefach umarchik min hakora tefach. And you can put it anywhere you want. Kol ha-petach kulo kasher le-mezuzah, but it has to be above a petach of the ground for it to be considered to be petach space, mezuzah space, and it has to be further away than a petach from the roof in order for it to be the petach space. That is the whole issue. So the question...
Why should we explain tefach as petach? Is that the width of
tefach?
The Gemara says tefach. Rabbi keeps saying petach. Petach space. What does Rabbi mean? I'm confused.
The petach space is where begins only a tefach away from the ground and a tefach away from the roof. Otherwise, it's roof space and ground space. So to call it petach space, it has to be within that area. But it's a wide area. Doesn't make any difference, says Rav Huna, where you put it. Why would you have to put it at the Tchilat Shlish HaElyon? And in fact, the Braita seems to say, like Rav Huna, against Shmuel, Meitve. Magbia min hakarka tefach, umarchik min hakora tefach, v'chol ha-petach kulo kasher le-mezuzah. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So, look, Rabbi Yehuda is basically what Rav Huna says. Mamash, I mean, it's almost word for word. Rabbi Yossi says, well, the pasuk compares the kshira of tefillin and the ksiva of a mezuzah. Ukshartam liot ayatecha, and then uchtavtam al mezuzot betecha. So just like shira is begova, so you put the tefillin on your head in the mokum that a tinek, we'll see later on, where you can actually see the pulsing through the soft yet unfinished skull. So avktiva is begova, so it should be put higher up. Now, at least according to Rav Huna, this makes sense because he was going like Rav Yehuda. Perfect. But Shmuel is not going to anybody. Loka Rav Yehuda, veloka Rav Yossi. I mean, obviously he's not saying like Rav Yehuda if he says it has to be necessarily in the third. And Rav Yossi is mashma, it should be higher than one-third. Why is it only one-third? If he's talking about begova, why shouldn't it be as close as possible to the top? Why one-third? Where would Shmuel come up with one-third if it's like neither of these Tanoim? Answers the Gemara, the truth is that Shmuel's psak was like Rav Yossi, and therefore it could be anywhere, but my tchilat shlish ha'elyon deka omar, all he meant was laharchika shelo laharchika min hakora shomala yoter mishalish. This is the girsa that we have. It's not apparently the accurate girsa. If you take a look in the Shita, he takes out the word shelo laharchika for good reason, because it's clear from the Rambam that this is not what it means. But let's take a look at it as it is now. So all that he was saying is that you shouldn't put it below that area. So when Rabbi Yossi said that it should be begova, so Shmuel was simply saying, if it's lower than the top third, so then that's not considered to be begova. That was one way of learning it. Now, the problem is that the Rambam actually, if that's true, So then all that Shmuel would be saying is that's the maximum that you can go down on the mezuzah, right? If he's going like Rabbi Yossi. And not that you have to start it there, but that any place above that is fine, even better. I mean, that would be the mashmaut of the language that we have. Shalola archika yoter mishlish. Don't put it further than one third of the way down. But the Rambam's psak is, and this is the way that the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that heichon kovinet ha-mezuzah, he says, you put it betoch halal shel petach, betefach ha-samuch l'chutz, betchilat shlishel yon shel gova ha-shar. It says, beferish, it has to be right at the beginning of the one-third. So obviously, he could not have had this girsa. I mean, that's for sure. Because here it's saying that would be the maximum, not that's where you're supposed to put it, but that's the maximum distance you can have from the top. So apparently the Rambam only had the first word, which is the old girsa, laharchika, period. This explanation of shelo laharchika yoter was put in by someone who is not the accurate girsa, and laharchika means simply that what Shmuel said was, in order that people should not make the mistake of putting it in an area in which it would be not kosher because it would be too close to the ceiling, and they're trying to put it up, so he made a takana, put it one third of the way down, and that way you're not going to get into the problem of putting it too close to the ceiling. So it's a takana laharchika, but it's not that it has its own particular value. Nonetheless, he paskins like Shmuel the Rambam, and therefore we put our mezuzah in that distance, or at least we're supposed to. Most people don't bother measuring, and they put their mezuzah much higher. But that's perfectly okay, since this whole thing was just a takana, not to put it too high. On my Rava, which we spoke about before, it's a mitzvah lahanicha betefach hasamuch l'rashut harabim. So if you have a long entryway, put the mezuzah closest to the street within one tefach. And why would that be? My time, huh? Omar Rava, Rabban and Amre, Kidei Sheyivga Sama V'Girsa B'Mitzvah Miyad, not B'Mezuzah Miyad. It's the first thing that you should have is when you come into a house, first thing that you should see is the mezuzah as the mitzvah, and that way it's bekadesh your knisa into the bayit. Whereas Reb Chanina Misura says it's very simple. Since the mezuzah is also a shmira on the bayit, so why wouldn't you want to extend that shmira as much as possible? You should put it all the way on the outside, and that way you'll have a shmira from beginning to end of the entry. Would you like to have a bunch of hoods with drawn weapons in the entryway and they just have a force field at the very end? No. So put the force field at the beginning. You want to be properly watched. Amar Rabbi Chanina, this of course reminds us of that whole beautiful story of Unklus Hager, and they came to arrest him, and how he got rid of the soldiers and turned them into new gerim. So this is the story that he based it on. This is Rabbi Chanina. Look how different is the hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu versus Basar Adam. Basar Adam, the melech goes inside of his palace, and he's got these guards on the outside. Everybody's working for him to protect the melech. But midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino ken. He tells us, you live in your homes, enjoy yourselves, and that's fine. I'll stand outside and I'll protect you. So avadav yoshvayim mibifnim, v'hu mishamran mibachutz, sh'ne'amar Hashem shomrecha, Hashem tzilcha al yad yiminecha. It was actually a minhag. That instead of the minhag, I don't know where that minhag came from, because it doesn't seem to have any mocker of putting your hand on the mezuzah and kissing the mezuzah. There's no kissing of the mezuzah that's brought anywhere. But there are minhagim to put your hand on the mezuzah and to say, Hashem Shimri, Hashem Tzili Yad Yemini, based on this pasuk. So that way you remember every time you pass by the mezuzah, you mark your teva for the shmira and the presence of the shechina as you come in and out of your house. Dorash Rav Yosef
Rebbe, where's that brought? I'd love to see the source.
You'd like to see the source, would you?
Yeah.
I'll have to find you a source. Dorash Rav Yosef, you know, I love to make these things up and then to make pretend that they're sources.
Yeah, Rebbe makes up stuff all the time. Yeah.
That's what we get all the midrashim for the parsha sheets, you know. After all, I actually once taped up. You remember the old days before computers? I had that little typewriter, David. I had like a Hebrew typewriter. So I used to type up a medrash. So now we can refer back to that medrash. It's already old enough. All right, but I'll try to find you, actually. You're welcome. Darash of Yosef, Brederava, Mishmei Derava. If you made Hemikla Tefach Psula, if the hole that you put into the mezuzah HaPesach, the wood, or the stone, was so deep that it was a Tefach deep, that would mean that the recess of the mezuzah is a tefach from the surface. So that, if it's that deep, then it's not considered to be on the mezuzah, al mezuzot. It's not al mezuzot. It's in the mezuzah, and therefore it's not going to be kosher. Not to be confused with the tefach samuch lepetach, which has to do with how close to the petach, but it's on the surface of the mezuzah sapesach. Now, we seem to have a riot to this from the following brayta. Now, it seems to be saying that if you put the mezuzah inside of the piece of wood that covers over the mezuzah tapetach, or if you put actually a piece of brick over it, if there's a tefach that is above the mezuzah, either of the material that you bricked over or of the original material where you actually recessed the mezuzah into the brick or into the stone of the wall, then you're going to have to put another mezuzah there. Meaning, obviously, it doesn't mean you keep both mezuzahs. It means you need a mezuzah on the petach, and that's not going to be kosher. But if it's not a tefach, then it is okay. So that seems to be exactly what Rava was quoted as saying, that if you're hemikla tefach, then it's no good. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. This may be talking about a completely different issue. Ki tanya hi bepetach she'achorei hadelet. Now this is, according to many mafarshim, a rather complex case, which is not very common, but it is actually a way to address many issues. So let's talk about this case, one of the cases that Rashi brings, as a petach achorei hadelet. How do you have another petach behind your delet? Obviously, there's a number of different ways you can work out a case like that. But the most interesting case that Rashi brings is, imagine that you come to the corner of the building and you have a doorway right at the corner that opens up at right angles to each other. So you have, let's say you're at the corner let's pretend it's the Mizbeach, right? We're used to the Mizbeach, so we have the southwest where we usually bring it. So there you are. You've got a delet on the south, and you've got a delet on the west. Now, there's a doorpost going in between these two delatot, And you can enter on either side into the building. So this is not, in modern buildings, it's not all that unusual with your glass fronts, that you've got a door that could be entered into on either side. So that's the case over here. Now, you've got a board in the middle, or you've got your piece of aluminum in the middle that comes down, out of which both doors are going to be able to swing. So you've got the door on the south, and you've got the door on the west, and then you've got a door post that's actually between them.
So does it have to be on the corner, like Rebbe described, yeah, at Keren Zavit? Double doors?
Yeah, no, that's what it's referring to, but after the double door. We'll talk about other double doors later. I mean, that's where the whole Hogwarts issue came from, right? Didn't they call it double door?
I heard that coming,
you
yes.
You knew it. I had to get there before Barnea. Okay. All right, so what happens over here? So now, when you use the door that is facing towards the south, at the Mizbeach, like where you go to, so then the one that's on the facing the Heichal, so to speak, is behind that door. Because like when you look through the glass door, you're going to see that door behind this door, right? So then that means if you put a mezuzah to the right of that door, the one on the south, which is the right of the double doors. So then what the Braita is talking about is, does that work for both doors? So if, that's what it's saying, if that piece of aluminum in the corner that is between the two doors is a tefach, that makes each door separate, and then you'll need to put a mezuzah on each one of those doors. If that piece is less than a tefach, so then these two doors are basically considered to be one door, and if you put it on the right side of the one on the south, it counts for the one on the west, even though that's behind it. So if not, you'll have to put on two different mezuzahs. Fine. Rather complex case. And as David pointed out, it's nogea simpler cases as well, but it addresses a lot of fundamental dinim that we're going to bump into later. Anyway, says the Gemara, how can you say that the Braita is referring to that case when that case is beferish mentioned in that Braita later? The first part of the Braita was like very, very unclear. You put the mezuzah in the patsim, or you bricked it over. Not quite clear what we're talking about. If there's a tefach, where's there a tefach? So we said it doesn't mean a tefach in the brick over. We said it meant a petach achori hadelet, and that there was a bricking on the left side in that piece that was between the two doors. But that can't be what it means, because if you continue reading in the Braita, it talks about a case of a petach achori hadelet beferish. Petach shachori hadelet, im yesham tefach, tzorich mezuzah acheret, v'im lav eino tzorich mezuzah acheret. So that means that the first case is something else. I mean, we're not going to double the discussion of the same case, are we? Well, I mean, the first case was not really very clear, was it? So this is a case where the Braita continues on to explain itself. Basically, it's saying ketzat. What do we mean when we say if you bricked it over? We mean a case where you've got a delet behind a delet, such as at a corner where you could see through to the other delet. And now you bricked over the piece that's between those two. And then if it's a tefach, you're going to have to put on a new mezuzah. And that's not referring to Rava's case. So it's irrelevant to Rava's case, where you buried the mezuzah under a brick over. Tana. Another din over here is fascinating. Again, it's part of the halacha that Gavi introduced earlier, which is ta'aseh v'lo mina asui. So you cannot have a mezuzah that is preformed. So in this case, a person does not actually build his entryway. this guy is something of a beatnik, and he builds his doorway out of kanim. So it's a very natural kind of jungle dwelling, and he takes these reeds, and he actually makes this very decorative entryway made out of reeds, and it's very nice. You go into the house through this reed entryway that has a top and the two sides, and everything is fine. But you have to be careful about the mezuzah, because this is very convenient for mezuzahs, because all you have to do is cut open one of those reeds and insert the mezuzah. And now you've got like a perfect place for the mezuzah. Don't have to drill out anything. Don't have to bang in anything. It's perfect. However, if you're going to do it that way, you have to make certain that it is not tasev elomenasi. So I'm Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rava. Of course, this is only going to be kosher if you first sheheamid ulabasov chatach vehinicha. You have to first build that entryway out of your reeds. Then you can cut into one of the reeds and insert the mezuzah. But you can't make it a preformed doorway with a mezuzah in it and then put the whole thing up and make that your pretty doorway. So if you were chatach first, put your mezuzah in, veiniach, and then you pick the whole thing up, it only weighs 2 pounds anyway, then you pick the whole thing up and you put it in front of the entrance, then that's pasul. Because if basof emid, it would be pisula because of ta'aseh velo min ha'asui. Now, there's another thing that we need to take into consideration. How well formed does an entryway have to be? So now we spoke about an entryway that is made out of reeds. So now you're thinking to yourself, okay, what was the doorway like before you put those pretty reed entranceway into it? If it was not properly formed, the word for improperly formed constructions is shimai. Shimai comes from the word mishumam. Mishumam is like it's retarded, so to speak. It's not properly formed. So hani pitrei shimai. So if you have these improperly formed open doorways, then they're not chayav in a mezuzah at all, because it doesn't qualify as mezuzot betecha if it is shimai. A mezuzah means a properly formed mezuzah. This, by the way, has immense implications for something that people don't think about at all, and that is Erevin. Because remember, a Tzuras HaPesach has to be the same type of Petach that would be similar to the Mezuzot Petach Petach. If you use a Petach Shimai, you may think that that's a kosher Erev for your Tzuras HaPesach, but it isn't. And very often, people will use, let's say, the side of a tree or something like that, and that's not formed like a straight piece, which is why almost always you'll see that if someone is making an Erev like that, they will also bring down the string of the Erev or the wire of the Erev in a straight line down to the ground. So that should be the side of the Tzuras HaPesach. And that comes directly to the same sugya as an Erevin about Pitchei Shamoi. So what constitutes a Pitchei Shamoi that Rava is saying is not going to be chayev in a mezuzah? Pligiba Rav Ruchumi v'Abba Yossi. We don't know who said what, but we know that one of them said that it doesn't have a tikra. So it doesn't have anything above the entryway. It's just like a wall. There's nothing on top of it. And therefore, that's called a petach betecha. And because of that, it wouldn't be chayva mezuzah, even if it's 10 tvachim high. It's basically, it's open on top, and it doesn't resemble an entryway into a house. So, less like tikra. V'chad omar, the less like shikufe. The other one says that what it means is there's no actual post on the side. So let's say, imagine you have a jagged edge because a bulldozer broke through a wall, right? So it's completely jagged on the sides. Or if it was a brick building, you removed bricks and now you've got the jagged ends of the bricks or of the stone. So there is no doorway, basically. And this is the simple way of understanding it. The other way includes that Leslie Tikra means that the house doesn't have a Tikra. So in other words, it's an entryway into a building without a roof. It doesn't mean that the entrance, the thing itself, needs a Tikra. Let's take, for instance, this is brought La Halacha. Let's say that you've got dressing rooms in on a stage in a large hall. Now those dressing rooms are only like a meter and a half high. They don't go all the way up to the top. So they don't have a roof. So now the shaila is, would that mean that they're potter from a mezuzah? Definitely not. What it's referring to is where the space has no roof. Not that the particular thing that you're setting aside doesn't have a roof. If you're in a building that has a roof, then that roof is the roof also of your little dressing room. That's not what it's referring to.
So even if the walls do not reach the ceiling. Because even you have to put a mezuzah up even if the walls don't reach the ceiling.
Correct. That for sure is not what it's coming to say is potter.
And why is that about the house without a roof? Because it's not Roy Ladira?
Let me finish. Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
Now, the obvious question about that is, as Tosis points out, how could that be the pshat if we know that you have to put a mezuzah on the chotzer? The chotzer doesn't have a roof, so it doesn't make any sense. I'm walking into a completely unroofed area, and I'm going to put it on that. But then, if there was no roof in the house, then I don't have to put it on. And, of course, the answer to that is also... Well, the chotzer is bottled to the house. It's the chotzer of the house. And therefore, it is chayef for a classic house, which is doing its job by protecting you with a roof. Masha Inkein, if the building that you want to put the mezuzah on is not an effective building because it doesn't have a house, so that's not a regular house. So as David just said, that's not Beit Echa. Masha Inkein, a chotzer, this is what a chotzer is meant to be. So there, okay, as I said, all of these Gemaras have so many different applications. I hope we'll be able to spend a day on going over some of these applications, because a lot of it is mamish nogia halacha lemaisa. Omer Rabba bar Shila Omer of Chista, an achsadra is ptura min hamezuzah. So achsadra is basically a porch that is in front of your house, in front of an entrance, and it has one side that is open. Very common. And since there's no doorway, it's just you have the walls on the two sides, but you don't have anything that could pass as a actual mezuzah of a petach, those walls are made for the side. They're not made for the entryway into here. Now, again, this happens all the time in homes, right? So you've got a hallway, and you have a room, and now the room has got, you could pretend it's an entryway, but it's not there as an entryway. It's just these are the walls of the hall. They're not there in order to provide an entryway into the living room from the other side. So there is, in that case, there is no doorway. So there could not be that the whole wall is the mezuzah for the room. It's that type of thing. So over here, you don't have betzimim. Lefisha ainla betzimim. Alon, you're not muted. You don't have betzimim, and the betzimim would be the posts on the side. And if you were posts on the side, I could hear that would be b'chayev you. Why would Pitsimim be mechayev you? If you would put posts on the side, what would they be there for? To make a doorway? Posts on the side are there to support the porch, right? I mean, most porches have like a little column that sticks up that provides support for the roof of the porch, but it certainly is not meant to provide an entryway. So why would you be chayev? Yeshla pitzimim chayav? But just because you've got these pillars on the side, so that would make it chayev and a mezuzah. L'chizuk tikrau de'avide. Those are not actual doorways, and they don't visually frame a doorway either. They're simply supports for a roof. No, Achikamar, what Rav Chista meant was exactly that point. Ein la pitzimim means it doesn't have pitzimim, even if it does. That's what he's saying. What you think may be pitzimim for a doorway are not. They are just there to support the roof. That's what he was saying. Mipnesha ein la pitzimim. You're making a silly diak. But if they would have pitzimim, you would be chayim. The whole point is that he's saying they don't have pitzimim. So Achikomer, afal pishi yesh la pitzimim, it would be potter. Because what you're calling pitzimim are really only roof supports. She'in asuyim, ela lechizuk letikra. Omer Abaye, yeah, I've seen that la'alocha, because chazinalu le'isplalide de veimar. I saw in actually Rabba's beautiful house, he has those, I forgot how they say isplalide, but it's basically the same idea, just these long, long, narrow porches that surround the house. So it's more like a Spanish design, but I forgot the word that they use.
In Afrikaans, it's called a stoop.
Sorry?
Stoop. In Afrikaans, they call it a stoop. I don't know if that helps. In all the farmhouses.
Yeah, but a stoop.
All the way around the whole house.
Right.
But the roof hangs over.
But a stoop in Afrikaans also includes just a stoop. It doesn't have to be an ispalide. Haraya, Doc used to sit on the stoop. He didn't have an espalide.
How do we know?
In my really, Raya Gemura.
No, Doc would of course have an espalide. Doc, of all people.
What's going around here? Amaratus. Anyway, so they do have pitzimi. They had these side posts. And apparently those side posts were, even though they were, you could see them as entranceway all along the espalide, but they were really only there in order to support the pretty roof of the espalide. So he, obviously, there were no mezuzahs, even though Islo Pitsumi, Letlo Mezuzah, he must hold that Rabba must have held that Kasavala Chizuk Tikri Hudiavide. These things are only meant as roof support. And because of that, they don't form entryways. Meisve.
Esplanade?
Yeah.
Esplanade.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. Sounds just like the Ispalidi. I guarantee you, Doc would never have allowed an esplanade in his house. Oh. Unnecessary Bubba Mises. So now the question is, how could Abaye say that if the Braita says beferish that a Beit Shar, an Achsadra, whoa, and a Merpeset all need mezuzahs? Why? Isn't the side only meant to support the roof? And you're saying an Achsadra is Pater. That's not referring to the Achsadra of a porch thing. That's referring to the Achsadra de Veirav. An Achsadra de Veirav is like an extended room to give shiurim in. So over there, what they would often do in the Beis HaMedrash, if you didn't have air conditioning, so then they would make like a porch. And that porch, they would give shear in that porch, And the porch had a small wall all around, but it kept it open to the air in order to keep away from overheating. So it's like an air-conditioned classroom. And that Nachsadr Levei Rav, of course, would be Chayev. Ask the Gemara, well, that's exactly the point. Nachsadr Levei Rav, I mean, why would I need to learn that you're Chayev? I mean, that's in Drunam al Yato. I mean, that's like a Choshava lecture hall, no? Why would I need a Braita? Sorry, to say that you're Chayev in a mezuzah. Okay. Not an Nachsadr Levei Rav. It's talking about an Achsadra Romita. It's talking about a Roman Achsadra. Maybe David has one of those in his house around the statues. So that actually has these windows. It's an enclosed porch, but the openings extend deeper than the wall of Asarat Tvachim. And therefore, since you could say that these windows are not really part of a wall, and that means that the wall is really less than Asarat Tvachim, and therefore it's not considered to be a real room, Kamash Malan, that even that is considered to be Chayev, and that the windows are not going to be Ma'arer, the din of the Achsadra. Okay, so that's the Achsadra Rumita. Omer Chava, Omer of Yuda, a Bei Harziki is Chayev Bishtei Mezuzot. Whatever this Bei Harziki is, it needs a mezuzah on both sides. What is that Bei Harziki? So that is Omer of Papa Saba, Mishmei Rav. It's a Beit Shar, so it's like a gatehouse that has a place, there's a shomer there sometimes, and it's open, lechotzer, it's open to the chotzer that goes around the house, and the houses are open into the batim ptuchim lebeit shar. So basically, it's not just a shar into a garden. We're over there, it's just that a guy sits in there and he makes sure that nobody comes in. That has just one door. Okay, so that you have a normal mezuzah on. But over here, you have an entranceway into the garden, and also you can go directly from the house into the Beit Shar, and therefore you need two mezuzahs. So you might have thought that if a Beit Shar, a normal Beit Shar, needs a mezuzah, because it's the only way into the garden. So it becomes now the ikur of the entrance. But if it's part of the house, and there's a mezuzah anyway on the chalik that's the house, so this is like just bottle to the house. It doesn't need a separate mezuzah. So therefore, Tainas Rabbi Yehuda, it serves a dual function, and the house mezuzah is not sufficient for pottering the house of the Bei Harziki, because you don't necessarily go into the house of the Bei Harziki, you can go directly into the garden. Therefore, it requires two separate mezuzahs. Tana Rabbanan, there's also something that sounds very similar, a Beit Shar that is patuach both to a gina and to a kitonit. So over here, you can enter from that house into the garden, and therefore obviously from the garden into there, and you can also go into directly into the gatehouse from the house, and that too is essentially a Bei Harziki. So you have a Beit Shar Patuach Lechotzer Ubatim Petuchim LeBeit Shar. That is the much more typical, that is the Bei Harziki, and that's what we were referring to. So a Beit Shar that is patuach legina velikitonit, so it's open to one of the bedrooms, let's say. And it also is open to a garden that's outside of the bedroom. So Rabbi Yossi says, well, if it's open into the bedroom, then it should be chayiv in a mezuzah because it goes into the house. Whereas the Chachomim say, no. The fact that it goes into the house is not its main function. It is essentially part of the gan area, and a garden is not considered to be the same as a chotzer. It's not a gateway, so to speak, in which you've got, you know, your entryway into the house, and it's part of the shimush of the bayit. A garden is a garden, and it has its own separate use, and that is not considered to be mezuzot bitecha. The fact that you also get into the garden from your bedroom doesn't turn this into an entryway into the room. I mean, that's not the main point. The main point is that this is the way to get into the garden. Whereas the Chachamim say, it's like any Beit Sha'ar, Nidon ke Beit Sha'ar. So if you hold it's Nidon ke Kitonit, so then it needs a mezuzah. If you hold that essentially it's Nidon ke Beit Sha'ar, then it means it's Tashmish is La'avir. Anything which is the Tashmish, matter of fact, if you take a look in the Shita, it uses the word Ka'avir, not ke Beit Sha'ar. It's Nidon Ka'avir. So basically, it's considered to be a entryway to the outside, to the avir. So what's the machlokas over here? So Rav Shmuel d'Amrei Tavayu. The truth is that migina labayit kulei alma lo pligei dechayev. If you have the heker tzir, then that heker tzir, that door opens into the house from the gina. So in other words, the door swings into the bedroom that has this entrance to the garden. So then everybody is made that it needs a mezuzah because the heker shir, the heker tzir, turns it into a gateway to the house. My time up, be a debayitu. Then it's clearly meant to be, because of the heker tzir, it meant to be an entranceway into the house. So the only machlokas that we have between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi is if the heker tzir is dafka opens into the garden from the house. So then the question is, should we go according to the heker tzir? Or, as we said before, heker tzir is only where there is no clear-cut other indication as to what the main tashmish is of an area. In this case, you cannot compare the tashmish of the room of a house to the outdoor gina. That's the question. So if the heker tzir is actually into the gina, does that override the fact that a bedroom is more chashuv? So Rav Yossi holds, well, by definition, the inside of the house is going to be more chashuv. Whereas Marzavar, gina yikr, that even though that's true, that even in this case that it's on the side of the gan, that makes the heker tzir sufficient to turn the garden into the main place, and therefore you're not chayav a mezuzah on a garden. That's one explanation according to Rav and Shmuel. But Rav and Rav Yosef, they say, no. The case over here is of the machlokas between the Chachomim and Rav Yosef. Is mi bayit legina kulei amalo pligei lepata. If we're talking about the heker tzir, and that heker tzir is that it opens towards the garden, so that the door swings into the garden, everybody is made that that is not chayev in a mezuzah. My taima, the heker tzir, according to all, turns this door into an entry to the avir, and there's no chiyuv of a mezuzah as an entry to the avir, to the garden. So pliki pligi, the machlokas is only if the heker tzir is begina labayit. It shows that you're going into the house from the garden. So mar sovar biyadabayitu, if that's where the heker tzir is, so then that defines it as a doorway into the house. Masha Enkein, Mar Savar, so that would be true according to Reb Yossi. When it says Mar, it means the Chachomim. Mar Savar is that essentially this entire thing, you cannot use the Heker Tzir is on that enough to override the point. What's the point of this thing? The point of this thing is that it's Adaita de Gina Hude Avida. the whole idea is that it's basically a place where you could sit and you can have a hide in the garden. You can watch the garden from people coming in and so on. So if that's the idea, it doesn't matter where the Heckert's here is located. The point that's important is, why was this made? According to Rabbi Yossi, a Heckert's here even overrides a why this is made. And therefore, if it would be to the Bayit, so then it would certainly be a Pesach to the Bayit. A Bayit Verava used to be Noeg Halacha L'Maisa, like Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. And they said it was okay if the Heckert's here was towards the garden. Everybody agrees, according to Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, that it's for sure Potter. So they were Mako. Whereas Rav Ashi, he used to be Machmir, and he was Ovid Kerav Shmuel Lechumra. So he said that, no, actually, if the Heckert's here goes into the house, Adarabba, everybody agrees that it does need a mezuzah, and the Machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim is Dafka, where the Heckert's here was on the side of the Avir, onto the garden. And the Halacha is Kerav Shmuel Lechumra, which this particular closing is not necessarily the halacha. And actually, some even take out the girsa. We get into these kind of questions very often with situations in which there's two entryways onto a porch from the house. Another question is, do you put your mezuzah on your way onto the porch, on your way off of the porch? Are both of the doors considered to be doors to the porch? If there's yitzia from that porch to a garden, these kind of things are extremely nogea l'halacha. But, as I say, Bezrat Hashem, we'll have a time to discuss it.